Hello and welcome back to Shannon's Corner. I am Shannon Devereaux Sanford, and thank you so much for joining us here today on your favorite radio station. And don't go anywhere because we're going to talk a little bit about FOMO. Do you know what FOMO is? I think many of us know what FOMO is. If you don't know, it is the fear of missing out. Are you afraid of missing out? Are you afraid to put down your phone? Are you afraid to put down your computer? What if somebody posts something on Facebook that you didn't see? What if you didn't get back to that person instantly? How much are you addicted to your devices? How much are you addicted to being addicted to listening to everybody and being connected all the time? I mean, it is something that, look, it is something that's really wonderful, but has it gone too far? And if it has, is it an addiction? Can you cut it out? And what happens when you cut it out? I think we all have a little bit of FOMO, fear of missing out. But my guest today says that maybe if you do miss out, you will get the joy of missing out because there's a balance that you can find that is not in the wired world. And I want to welcome Christina Crook to Shannon's Corner. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for calling and joining us and sharing this with us. And I know you're in Canada, and this book has gotten a lot of attention, certainly in the United States and Canada and many places. I've heard you speak. You do a TED Talk. This is something that, you know, here we're all excited. We're all wired in. We all get to connect to everybody. And now we're finding it is a little too much. And your book, The Joy of Missing Out, there is a joy in missing out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like we've hit a bit of a wall in terms of our culture. You know, the smartphones, the tablets, they all had their luster and their shininess until probably about a couple of years ago when we collectively began to feel a bit weary about our input. And the technology that's there is there to connect us to information, to other people. But we're also physical beings. You know, humans have been around for a long time before the smartphone or the tablet. And face-to-face contact just simply is the way that we're wired. And we can't be in front of screens to the exclusion of face-to-face contact, or else we will suffer for it. So that's what I'm trying to draw some light on in my book.
And you did this, and you found that your life opened up a little bit, didn't it? I mean, all of a sudden, you saw things a little bit differently. You have three children. You're very busy. You're very much a professional. As I said, you've done a TED Talk. You are out there in the world. When you cut yourself off, did you find that you lost more than you gained, or gained more than you lost?
I definitely feel like I gained a lot more than I lost. I am a writer, like you mentioned. I mean, of course, with the book, but, you know, I just felt like my head before I stepped offline was so full of clutter. I felt like my head was so busy that I really just couldn't keep on top of my email feeds, my social media feeds. And as a creative person, that's pretty limiting, you know, in terms of having fresh thought, really sinking your teeth into ideas and reading. So when I stepped away, that in particular was a really huge blessing for me, just really having a lot of clearness and quietness in my head, even in the midst of the craziness of being a mom with young children. And the other thing was time. You know, we think our smartphone check-ins save us a lot of time. But the reality is all those little check-ins equal a lot of time. And often those are bits of time when we could be doing other things, you know, having some quality conversation, reading a book. You know, a lot of us have those stacks of books on our bedside table that we've, you know, we're halfway through and are probably never going to finish. You know, those are the things that I got to when I was offline because I simply found time.
You know, there's a chapter in here, chapter 8, quitting the comparison game. This speaks to me because I find a lot of that, maybe this is more women than men, I'm not so sure, maybe it's just everyone, but there is a sense of comparison. There's a sense of, oh, they look happier than me, or I'm miserable. And, you know, Facebook, there has been studies on Facebook, for example, that show that it is a very depressing chore or task, or certainly something that everyone does every day, because you do see other people. Do you find that if you pull back from social media that you don't have that comparison game going on?
Absolutely. I read about it in the book, but I had this thought long before I even went offline, and I journaled it, and that was, you know, maybe if I step away, I'll stop worrying about what other people are doing and just do my thing, you know? And I think that there was a time before any of this global connection where people actually believed they had an original thought, like they were sitting out in the forest and all of a sudden this profound thought came to them, and they believed that, you know, thought was profound to them. Well, now, you know, we Google that thought to, you know, make sure it
right.
is unique,
right.
but, you know, it's, but
true.
It's actually been thought of by
right.
2,700 other people.
That's true.
And we're not so special after all, you know, but
yeah.
it was your unique thought. And I think that that's also plays in it for me as a creative person also, you know, there's always this comparison of, you know,
oh, yeah.
other people writing about this or thinking about this. But yeah, absolutely. I mean, professionally and personally, we're living in this kind of bizarro age where we can compare ourselves on every level
right.
with every person in the world. And comparison, you know, it can really be a bit of a secret killer in terms of our morale and our thoughts. You know, our belief in ourselves and what we can do. Of course, it also can spur us on, you know,
right.
this huge positive side,
that's
which
true.
I want to really focus on.
That's
also,
true.
Also, which I do in my book, it's not anti-technology at all. It's just about using it mindfully and just, you know, living with our eyes wide open.
Well, and the mindfully comes in when you took a month off, obviously you're back on now and it's important in your life. So when you took that month off, you realize that where you can balance it. And I think that if we take a day off here and there, we might pull back and balance it a little bit more by getting more in tune with ourselves. And certainly, I mean, I would be amiss if I did not mention that how our children, teenagers, I have a teenager, that how that they are so connected and that their world is so revolved around that much more than ours. I mean, they live in that world. Their emotions play out in that world. Their social life plays out in that world. And that can be dangerous. Getting them to pull back, your children are smaller, but getting them to pull back, I think, is tougher. Is there any hints for parents that kids maybe stop their kids from always looking at the phone?
Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to speak to something that I just simply haven't experienced yet. And that you're right, I do not have teenagers. Mm-hmm. I have a lot more control now, and I do actually look at those years with some fear because I think that it must be incredibly tricky. And I know I'm going to have to cross that hurdle soon, but I think what I talk about mostly is finding the things that are life-giving for our teens and our kids. Offline, you know, I'm not saying that they can't spend time online. Of course they can. But it's finding those other things in the real world, whether it's a sport or it's riding or it's, you know, being out at a nature outdoor school of some type, and really supporting them
yeah.
in that and making sure that they have that wonder and appreciation for the real world and carving out those offline spaces. And maybe it's reluctantly at first, but it really is life-giving for kids. I mean, I even
right.
think of cell phones being allowed to be in classrooms. Like, I actually think it would be life to students for there to be spaces
mm-hmm.
carved out by the adults in their lives that are tech-free.
Right.
For all of them.
Yeah,
right?
No, I think what I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I think if you get them while they're young, maybe you can train them a little bit better. A listener just texted me and saying, you know, that Facebook can be so nasty. And it's true. It can just be such a problem. And I think that what your book really teaches us is that all of it can be a problem if we allow it to control us. Once we learn to control it and use it to our benefit to keep up with people we might not see, Facebook can be wonderful for that. You know, all of these things can be wonderful if we use them and they don't use us. So I think that's the major message of your book, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's a wonderful book, The Joy of Missing Out, Finding Balance in a Wired World. Christina Crook, thank you so much for joining us. It really is a terrific book. You've done a great job with it.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Everybody, everything that you hear is always here on Shannon's Corner is always on shannonscorner.com. You can go there and you can get a link directly to her book. Learn more about it. Go to her website, buy the book of what you hear here. And always it's there for you and you can listen to podcasts as well. We have to wrap it up for today, but thank you for joining us here on WTVQ. And until next time, don't forget to make good choices.